About four, I guess three, a little bit, 3.5 years ago, I was working for a software company. You know, after 10 years, I just wanted to do something else. So, and I didn't know what it was I wanted to do. So I decided to take a year off with my family and go live somewhere wild. So we went to live on an island in Norway, just north of the Arctic Circle. So this small island of 180 people, a lot of fishing, is a beautiful place. So I got to the island and I really treated it I wanted to call it not a sabbatical, but a retirement year, because I didn't have a sort of professional purpose for it. But when we got to, when it got dark and cold in the winter, I needed something to do so I don't go nuts. So I decided to go back to something that I had done a long time ago, which was coding, developing, and I thought I'll write myself an app. The idea for a text-to-speech app actually came from my father, who was doing some research on speech. So I thought, oh, you know, now we have these little iPhones. Wouldn't it be nice if they can read stuff for us? Because I always have stuff I want to read and I don't have time for. But so it was not developed for. It was developed as a productivity tool and not for the visually impaired, or another segment is students who have reading disabilities. You know, after a couple of months, the app went out in the App Store and everything was good. The weather was getting better. I was ready to go back into fishing and hiking. But then emails started to come in. Initially, it was emails from special ed teachers who found the app useful for students. My wife, being a teacher, certainly encouraged me to spend more time on it because it's a useful tool. Then, I guess, from that point out, I got hooked, obsessed with this product. And by the way, the version 1, this was like February 2012. And it was really basic. I mean, nothing. Right, one voice, read a PDF files, and did a really lousy job with PDF files because I wrote my own parser, and getting text out of PDF turns out to be much more difficult than I thought, and it was not accessible. But gradually, I started adding one little feature at a time, making it better in incremental ways, and became sort of a full-time job. I didn't fish or hike very much. You know, it was in the house all day and all night sometimes, just working on this thing. When our year was over, I came back to Boston, and you know, as most tech guys here do, you know, you come back, you want to do another startup, right? So I looked into doing a startup. But meanwhile, I'm still working on the app. You know, back then it wasn't selling very much. But at some point, all of a sudden, I don't know what happens in the market. You know, my wife and I looked at each other and says, you know, yeah, we can live on this. It's not a great living, but we can live on this. Yeah, I guess then we both decided, why do anything else? Let's stick with this. And even at that point, by the way, the app was still not voiceover accessible. But then more emails came in. There was a guy from Spain. There was another guy from France who were particularly persistent, who say, like, you got such a product useful for the blind community. Why don't you make it accessible? And you know, I had this long backlog of list to do. But I guess at some point I just realized that this product would be useful for the blind community. So then I proceeded to spend, I would say, a good part of 6 months making the product not only accessible, but I think in some areas went quite beyond accessible, because I actually built specific user interface components only for VoiceOver. So anyway, I think it got pretty well received, and I mean, Apple Viz, I mean, the one thing about the blind community, I'm sure you know and I found, is incredibly vocal and helpful and encouraging and, you know, so
pushy,
but also so supportive. It's been great. I want to talk about the product a little bit, because when I went into it to build the product, maybe it's because my naivete in the field, and I didn't come from, you know, accessibility field. You know, I always thought that text, you know, should be treated as sort of almost a musical score. Something that's continuous, that can be rendered on the screen and can also be rendered into audio. Whereas, and I didn't know this at the time, I didn't even know there are such things as screen readers. Whereas looking back, thinking about it, you know, I immediately decided fundamentally to not think about a text reader as a screen reader. And I think people who use the product can probably vouch for that. You know, there are natural text markers in the text, you know, sentences, paragraphs, sections, chapters, and those markers are are far more useful than a simple a concept like a line of text on the screen, right? A line of text on the screen is a limitation of a sighted world where you have to squeeze the text on a small area. Whereas I think if you want to truly build an audio experience, it's much better to not even think about what's on the screen. Just treat the text as text, right? And then allow users to navigate the text using much more natural markers. Because of that fundamental design decision that I made early on in the product's lifecycle, not even before I was even aware that this product could be useful for the blind community, that made it easy to build all the navigation features. Because you can navigate by character, by word, by sentence, all those things, it's very easy to do. And changing navigation units and moving the speech cursor back and forth. And by the way, the speech cursor isn't bound by the screen. The speech cursor could be anywhere in the document. So think about that as almost a virtual thing. As far as a reader goes, I want to tell you a little bit of what comes next, because next year I want to do a rewrite, doing this from scratch of the reader. And the reason for that is there's a bunch of things that architecturally that it needs to do, but it's difficult to do under the current framework. So one thing is synchronization, right? Synchronization of content, documents, books, and so on between multiple devices. Now that Apple's iCloud is actually usable, a few versions ago it was not. So now it's actually usable. That makes it possible to build a reading system that's more cloud-based, and then you can synchronize content and progress and bookmarks and all the stuff among multiple devices. And the other thing is support for images and alt tags and so on. And right now it does not, right? It takes a PDF, it takes an EPUB book or DAISY book, and if there are images in there, it rips the images out. It only takes a text out and reads the text. So that's the other thing I wanted to work on. And the third thing, probably important to people who read a lot of PDF, is a more intelligent way to decide what to read and what not to read. You know, headings, headers and footers, footnotes, you know, those things get repetitive. So then behind that, there's a thinking behind it is, right now, if there's a piece of text, VoiceStream will read it, right? But then the reader has to be configurable to the point where the user or the reader, by some intelligence, can decide what to read and what not to read. And in fact, how to read something, right? If there's a table, it needs to read, do I want to read the table? Do I not want to read the table? There's an image, there's a header here. There's a footer that repeats throughout every page, right? You can make some decisions on what to read and what not to read, right? So these are some of the fundamental rethinking of what a reader does. Whereas right now, what it does is anything you got, extracts the text and reads the text for you. That's the current design. So that I'll probably start doing that early next year. You know, I was just reading, I was just having this email exchange with a customer, and I told him I'm thinking about doing this, and I can't really decide whether I should make it an update, a free update, or I should, you know, make it VoiceStream Reader 2.0, right, as a separate app that customers have to pay for. And he said, by God, like, what are you talking about? You know, of course it's a brand new app. You know, I don't know. I would love to hear how people here think about it. You know, the thing is, like, the product generates enough that we live comfortably. I'm not in this for the money.
I think it's important. I mean, you're going to have, there are going to be some people, some people always want things for free. And there are a lot of blind people who are accustomed to getting things for free, whether it's, you know, talking books and braille books from the library or, you know, other kinds of items. But I think your hard work needs to be acknowledged and rewarded. And one of the ways that we do that is by purchasing what you provide. I would have paid three times as much for VoiceStream as I had to pay, easily. Just from my perspective, I think you should charge. I think it's valuable, and I think that people, if they're looking for features to be added, if they're looking for additional functionality, that they need to understand that it's important that that be acknowledged and remunerated.
If Lincoln Center is doing this in a module format, in the integration, you know, from the old to the new, with in-app purchases, you know, if they want certain functionality, let them buy the in-app. As you build it.
Yeah, in-app purchases has. I think for voices is okay. I've been keeping away from charging additional for in-app, right? Because I feel like it has a. I think customers feel like it's like a nickel and diming. There's that aspect of it. The other thing is, like, for education, schools buy apps in volume. They can't buy in-app purchases in volume.
How much is it?
The app.
Yeah.
It's $10.
I agree with Amy. You getting that income in, it also helps developers make the ability to continue to support the product. and make updates and do all those things. And so lots of times there have been many free apps that have withered, and all of a sudden they're not being supported or further developed. So I think that goes a long way to maintaining the product.
Yeah, the app store is, as I learned, it's a funny business. VoiceStream Reader, it hovers around 1,000 top grossing apps in the app store in the U.S. and there are millions of apps, right? So to think that only the top 1,000 provide enough income to support kind of one guy and his family. So you think, well, what's going on with all these other apps? It's because of that you see so many apps in the app store that are zombies because they're not being maintained.
Have you had a lot of people in other countries purchasing VoiceStream as well?
So I would estimate that in the U.S. it's probably a third visually impaired and two-thirds education oriented. But in other countries, I think it's predominantly visually impaired. In fact, the audiobook feature I added, the Library for the Blind in Switzerland insisted that I put that in because there are actually no good DAISY audiobook players on in iOS. I was surprised to find. And so a lot of people are still lugging around VictorStream readers just to read, DAISY 2 audiobooks.
If you want to retire the code branch that you have already and not support it, maybe you do want it to be a progression of what you already have, because you may not want to sit there and support the previous version ad nauseum while you're supporting the new one.
There is a lot of work in maintaining an app. That's very true.
And I agree with everybody else here as far as paying for it.
Is there anything here that anybody feels like should go into it? If I think about the major pieces of functionality that you would look for in the next generation of VoiceStream Reader?
To the best of my knowledge, to import a file now, you can only import one file at a time, right? You can't import entire folders. I would like to see the functionality to import entire folders. And even if it takes more time, you're just pressing the button once and then go off for a cup of coffee or whatever. You already have a playlist function. And I'd like to be able to listen to, several albums on there. We talked, before you came, we talked about what an abysmal mess iTunes is now and the music, and I can't import music into my library or anything. I guess, unless it's paid music. So if I could import entire folders or albums, then I could use it, out of Dropbox. Then I could short-circuit iTunes, and that would be a very nice thing. Not to mention the fact that, if you could import entire folders, then, you also have those for going through your documents. So, again, to the best of my sense is when you first enter into the app, you just have a list of all your files, and that's all you have. You can create folders, but, that main screen is just a bunch of files. Mm. And I guess I could create playlists, but I'd have to import every single song and then select every single song and make it into a playlist. So,
how does everybody here feel about nested folders? Because that's one thing that comes up once in a while. Folders within folders.
As long as it's navigable, it's fine.
Yeah, importing folders is... In iTunes right now, not importing iTunes, importing through the iTunes documents folder, you can select multiple items. But for other imports, yeah, you're right. It's only one. I'll get that in. Oh, it's possible to import zipped audio files. So you can take a bunch of audio MP3s, zip it into one file, and import that as a single zip file. And it will treat that as a single item, as a single document with multiple chapters. And it will order those by the name of the file, of the MP3 file. I didn't hear that from the U.S. I think in other countries, a lot of people have sort of keep these audiobooks in MP3s. And they're organized by chapter name. So zip them together, comes in, and it becomes a single book. And you can navigate those each individual file as if it's a book.
You could maybe work on adding some Newsline functionality. That might be interesting. Newsline is a newspaper reading platform for the blind.
Right. Is this the NFB?
Yeah.
I've been in touch with them.
They have their own app, and that's probably the problem, is that they have their own app and their own website and so on and so forth. Yeah. They probably wouldn't want to give up control, although they have given
advice. Oh, I don't know. The VoiceStream voices are so much better.
Yeah.
To listen to newspapers with James is that would be awesome.
The Newsline baseline stuff that does go to Bookshare. That hadn't occurred to me in the judgment over here.
I'm sure they have some kind of support where you can get it for getting access to Newsline and Bookshare.
Mm-hmm. Bookshare does have a bunch of publications, like in the New York Times.
You can access Newsline through Bookshare also, so I'm sure Newsline can be made available to you.
If you're thinking about a new code base, would the new code base support Android?
We are actually building an Android version now. So now we're a company of two, and I have a partner, and he's building the Android version as we speak, and that'll come out early next year, probably sometime in, I want to say, February or March. It turned out to be a bigger piece of effort than we anticipated. Yeah. He essentially had to rewrite the app. I think we'll probably need to maintain those two things separately. There's very little that's actually shareable between the two. They're not only in different programming languages, but also totally different UI components.
One feature I really love about your app was the capability of speeding up audio.
Yeah.
And your speech compression is very, very good.
Awesome.
And my question is, can you even set it so that you can go faster than two times?
I came upon an algorithm that can speed up human speech to like 4 or 6 times. It's a little rough around the edges, but I think it's got some potential. That's another piece of work I wish I have time to work on. I was talking to a blind friend of mine, and he suggested that sometimes it's best to take text-to-speech output at a really slow speech rate and then speed that up using a speed-up algorithm. And that turns out to be much more legible than just a text-to-speech engine doing its own speed-up for some reason. So I was thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great to build that where you can, because I have access to raw audio data from all the text-to-speech engines, and just take the raw audio data, then speed that up like by whatever, by 10 times. Sorry.
What programming languages are you using for apps?
For iOS, it's Objective-C. It's Apple's version of C, of object-oriented C, and for Android, it's Java. There's no choice in, All iOS apps have to be in Objective-C.
I would like to have it be that when you put something in a folder, that it move out of the main list. Like if I create a folder for books, that then when I go to my home button, the list of all the things, I would rather not see it there. Or maybe that could be a choice that you could elect. If it's in books or periodicals or whatever, then it doesn't show up in that main list anymore.
Yeah, I have a solution for that already. It's just a matter of getting to it, which is just like an unorganized folder. You will see all the list of files that's not in any folder. So I think that would help with what you're looking to do. Because you still want the all items folder, because just to do search, right? Finding, looking when you're searching for a document with a title. So it'll be done. You wouldn't believe how long of a backlog of features I have for the reader. Like 3-4 pages in small font. This fall, I just decided, okay, I have to put this aside because I want to build this new app. And if I keep on adding new features, I'll never get to it. Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about the new app. I think it's mostly ready, but we're now in this last part of software development, which is you feel like your product's ready, but you're actually doing the small things, taking care of the small problems that will annoy the heck out of the end users if they get in the product. To the developer, it's very frustrating because you feel like you're not making much progress. Mm-hmm.
Voice Dream, Writer.
Okay, so it's just called Writer.
Writer. Dot move cursor. Cursor position. Beginning of document. First sentence. Hi, Winston. Swipe up or down to move the cursor by word. Swipe left or right with 3 fingers to change the navigation unit. Swipe up or down with 3 fingers to move the cursor to the beginning or end of the document. Double tap to select text starting from the cursor. Button. Adjustable.
I think one of the things I thought about from the ground up is how do we manipulate the cursor and the text selection in text when you're writing. So this one cursor now, by using swiping gestures, 3 finger left and right swipe. So I'm going to recycle through the units, okay?
Paragraph. Sentence. Word, character, paragraph.
So these are all the units that you can go through. So once you set a unit, then swiping up and down will navigate the document in that unit. So not too different from the rotor, but one difference is that the rotor doesn't have a concept of a sentence and paragraph. And also in this writer, you can define headings. And the headings, if you have headings in the document, the headings will show up as units that you can navigate to and from. Okay, so not too different than a DAISY book with chapter marks that you can navigate back and forth to.
Okay.
Page meaning like what's visible on the screen?
Or if you have a longer document, somebody says, go check this paragraph on page six.
Yeah, you want to be able to
there's
move
no,
by page.
There's no concept of page. It's working with pure text. But you can say there's a search function. It's a text editor. It's about text. There's some basic formatting features. But that's through a technology called Markdown. That allows you to say, here, this word is bold, this word is italic, to do that very easily without going through fancy, like selecting a text and select a format. Right? It's a much easier way to have basic formatting in your document than Microsoft Word or Apple Pages or all the other editors. So this one tool lets you move your cursor around the document to the beginning. Three fingers swipe up goes to the beginning of the document. Three fingers swipe down goes to the end of the document. Right, going through the document by paragraph by sentence. Once you, let's say, to select a piece of text, so I'm going to move this.
I created a new document and pasted text into it.
I'm in paragraph mode here. So I want to select a paragraph. I'll just explain to you what it's supposed to do. It's got, the button has three modes. So in the first mode, it moves the cursor around the document. And if you double tap on it, then it gets into a mode where you move the end of the selection. So now you can move the end of the selection by word, by sentence, just like the reader does today. And then you double click again, it'll give you the options what you want to do with that selected text. You want to copy or cut it. Then once you do that, it goes back to where it was. Now you can move the cursor around to a different spot. Again, double tap, it'll bring up the option to paste it. Then you can paste that into the document.
Now, if you move, let's say you move to a certain point in the text. If you start typing then, is it automatic insert mode so it'll just type wherever the cursor is?
When that cursor button is highlighted or in focus, you're always editing, and it'll always tell you where the cursor is. Wherever you are, once you put your focus on that cursor button, the first thing will tell you is where the cursor is, and then whatever you type will go.
Will it read your selection? So you know what you actually have selected?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out the problem
sometimes. You think you have one thing selected, you have something else selected.
Yeah, so just like the reader, you know, the way the reader works is that when you get to the part where you're deciding what you want to do with a selection, you know, it's copy or paste, the first item is your selection. And you can use the rotor to go through that piece of text by character, by word, or whatever to make sure that it's the thing that you want to select.
As you're developing this, are you developing it using VoiceOver? Because I'm wondering if maybe you're running into some conflict there between VoiceOver and what you chose for options.
Well, for almost everything, I'm using VoiceOver. I'm actually not doing my own text-to-speech, except when I go to proofreading mode, which I'll get into.
Winston, is there a big editing thing for me is spelling? Will it spell?
Okay, so there's an option here.
Button. Tools. Content heading. 300. Find misspelled words.
Wow. Okay, and then double tap on that.
Wow. Dot 1 of 1. HKE. HKE. Full sentence. Robert Stassier created a new document and pasted text into it from HKE clipboard.
And then.
Button. Adjustable.
And then you
clear
go left.
Text. HKE.
Then
text
you
can, field.
You can
double tap to edit. Insertion point at end. E. K. I.
Okay.
No result found.
That's it. I just fixed that.
Can you get it to spell phonetically?
Yeah, I'm actually working with a friend of mine who is an expert in this field to build that feature for me. But if you have multiple misspelled words, you can use the same swiping motion to cycle through them.
That's fantastic.
Right. So when you're done, we'll go through one, you cycle one, go to the next.
Could you get it to suggest spell changes, or you can only type them?
Whatever the keyboard has, the iOS 8 keyboard has suggested spelling.
Yeah.
Close search bar. Button.
There's search also, right? Finding a piece of text. And the same idea, the swiping button, which I have kind of started to use all over my app, a button that you can, once you select it, double tap does something, and swiping up and down does something, right? So search also works the same way. When you swipe up and down, it'll cycle through the search results. It'll read, you know, the context around where that piece of text was found, the full sentence around it.
Will it search across files?
No.
No.
Are you planning on the ability to save in multiple formats?
It'll save definitely in plain text. It's possible to save in HTML and in rich text format. Those two are easy. It's really hard to save in Microsoft Word document format. It's definitely not going to be available in V1, and it's likely that HTML and rich text format saving will be available in the first release.
In the search, would you be able to use like stars and regular expressions?
No, it's possible. I guess the question is, it's actually not difficult to do, but it's a question of
So I'm not clear about the editing. You don't use the standard edit in the rotor when you're trying to...
I got a big decision to make, whether to just co-opt that thing altogether with this cursor tool or allow both to be used. Right now, you can use both. The way the state of the app is right now, you can do all your editing using this magic cursor button, which will move you around the document, put your insertion point anywhere you want, start typing, copy and paste, all of that.
And how do you find that cursor button in the first place?
See, that's the difficult thing. It's much easier if I just get to the cursor button by tapping on the big area where the text is on the screen. Right now, it's just one button. But however, as long as you're just selecting and moving, that focus isn't going to go away from it. But once you start typing, the focus will go away from it. That's one of the challenges that I got to work through.
Does that have like a find next?
Swiping up and down. So for example, let me do a search here.
Tool, find text. Document text field is editing. Find text. T, H, E. 1 of 26. Full sentence. I created a new 2 of 26. 3 of 26, 4 of 26.
So I'm just swiping, right?
6 of 26.
Yeah. To go through.
When I reopened Writer, my new document was in the file manager.
I have low vision, and one of the things that I find helpful is apps that have a night mode to them. Is that something that you think?
Yes. In fact, this goes beyond the reader. In that, once you set night mode, everything is a night mode. Menus, screens, and everything is sort of is white on black.
Are you going to set this up so that, like in your other app, you'll be able to export documents that you've written, say, to your Dropbox?
You can export to Dropbox, Google Drive right now. It's built in to synchronize across iCloud, so the same document will be on your iPad or iPhone and on your Mac. I feel like a lot of accessible products have this indispensable accessibility feature, but then everything else you have to compromise on. I want to build products where you don't have to compromise on those other things.
Have you looked at any of the other competition, like say Access Node, ASP's Access Node, or anything like that?
I have looked at all the text editors, regular text editors out there. I've also looked at a product called CoWriter, but I haven't looked at, I didn't, wasn't aware that there is a specific text editor for...
Access Note. It's run by, created by the American Foundation for the Blind.
I'll look into it.
Thinking along the lines of making this interoperable with the
VoiceStream? I did manage to talk to Acapella and Ivona, the two companies that provide the voices, to let me, if the customer has already paid for a voice in the reader, they will be able to use the same voice in this product.
Awesome.
So I was going to get into the reading mode. So the reading mode is basically...
I created a document text.
Wherever you are in the document, there is a...
button.
There is a read, start reading button.
From the current sentence.
And when you double tap on it, it just reads it like the reader.
When I reopened Writer, my new document was in the file manager.
It's continuously to read.
I can select the new document in FM, but I cannot open it. I have tried double tapping.
Okay, so when you stop reading, it puts the cursor right there where you stop reading.
Full sentence. I have tried double tapping cursor and selecting and swiping up with one finger and selecting activate item. Period.
Because the problem with VoiceOver is that it will read your document, but if you hear a mistake, you
swipe
can't
up or
stop
down with
it.
Three fingers to move the cursor to the beginning or end of the doc. Proofread button.
Okay. So your app will put the cursor right there, so you can correct that mistake.
That's right. That's right. That's awesome. That's right.
That's cool.
If you stop, even if you're probably maybe a couple of words off. Even if you're a couple of words off, you can use the same swiping cursor control to make sure you find the right spot. So this
number
is the 10. Help document.
Number writing. VoiceStream writer can give you show outlines button.
Or three finger swipe to the right opens up the outline. The outline is automatically constructed based on your text. So the outline shows you sentences, paragraphs, and headings in a list. Right now, I'm in paragraph mode, so I'm not looking at sentences, only paragraphs. And I can just swipe in this table through my entire document, one paragraph at a time.
Oops. Paragraph. Heading level 2, number not paragraph. 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 Surround a word or phrase with 2. Heading level 2, number outline. Paragraph. To navigate through your paragraph, the outlines is paragraph. Okay. The button at the top of the outline lets you select the lowest
so level 2. So just number, by swiping through, you can go through your document very, very quickly.
Could you build in an option where the user could choose, instead of hearing paragraph or sentence, that there would be a sound that could be made?
Yeah, because it gets pretty tiring.
Yeah, after a while, I'm just hearing that paragraph, and I'm thinking, oh, that would drive me crazy.
But the list is a mix of paragraphs and headings, so you might want to hear, you certainly want to hear that it's a heading.
Sure, but that's what I was thinking, maybe a sound. That if you
when
could
I was hearing that, I heard it say heading level 2. Would you be able to differentiate by heading levels? Because, you know, with the rotor now, you cannot.
There is a mode where you only show headings.
If your lowest level, headings.
So now you're only lowest going level, through headings.
Heading, 1 of 3. Heading level 1, number hell. Heading level 2, number writing. Heading level 2, heading level 2, number word 8.
Okay, and then when it gets really, this one also is when it gets really cool, is that you can take this entire section and move it up and down in your document directly from the outline. You guys know how to move things in the table? You have to like tap and hold, and once you do that, then you can move up and down in the document. Somehow it's not working right here. It does work. I tested this out. So you can move paragraphs and sentences, you know, all around in your document just using this outline.
Skim mode where you could just read continuous mode, ever just read each sentence, the first sentence, say, for each paragraph?
For not the first sentence in each paragraph, that would be useful. Because you can use that with the two finger slide down, right? I mean, right now that already works because you can start from one spot.
Heading level one number hell. Heading level 2, number
this is just reading automatically now, right? So you can skim
heading
through your documents number that way. But so if this is in the heading mode, I wanted to build the equivalent of skimming through a document, which people with visual impairment and people with reading disabilities have trouble doing. In fact, a friend of mine who's not blind, we're dyslexic, and he said, you're working on a 30-page document, just finding, scrolling back and forth to find the thing I want to look for is such a pain. But so that's exactly the kind of thing the outline is designed to do, is to let you find spots. If you're working on a long document, let you find the spot really easily.
What about bookmarks?
No, the only way to do bookmarks is to stick a heading in there. And it's easy to put stick a heading in there, just to, you know, use pound signs. One pound sign is level heading, heading level 1, 2 counts heading level 2. Once you stick a heading in there, then you can go back and find it very easily.
So that would particularly be helpful if, for example, you had a document full of headings, but if there were no heading level 8s, just for example, and then you could create those as your bookmarks. That way you wouldn't have to go through every kind of level heading to get to the bookmark.
Because one of the navigation modes, like here, you'll hear it.
Cursor position, beginning of document, first sentence, heading.
So now you're navigating by heading with a cursor tool.
If you had level heading navigation as choices,
yes.
That way, if there were no level heading 7s, I could, or 8s, I could create that for my bookmarks, and that would allow me just to go to the things that I had, you know what I mean?
Because I think somebody actually asked for that feature for the reader, too. Because reader, you can navigate through headings,
yes.
And to pick a specific level,
yes.
A heading level.
Particularly if you're going to add personalized headings of your own to identify particular areas that you want to be able to go back to. I think that would be an important feature.
When you're doing the reading using your writer voice, the method for changing the speed of the voice is to do a two-finger flick up or two-finger flick down while the voice is reading. Is that correct?
I don't think that works in voiceover.
That's why I found the conflict, because voiceover uses that two-finger flick up and flick down. What do you do when you're trying to, how do you adjust the speed?
On the fly.
While
it's reading.
On the fly. Well, right now in the reader, maybe some of the stuff may not be well documented, is that if you just put the focus on the audio setting button, then flicking up and down will change the speed. But you still have to navigate to that button.
Talk about in the writer.
Yeah, and the writer right now doesn't do that. I should make the audio setting button do the same thing.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Be great.
Same code in.
Yeah.
That would be terrific. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know that on the iPhone now there's Braille mode? Would the editor work if you put it in the Braille mode and we're typing Braille?
I haven't tried it, and I wouldn't know how to do it anyway. This is a problem I run into with the Braille for the reader too, because I know some people use the reader with a Braille machine. It does work, doesn't work that well. There's some issues with it. And if I had a Braille machine, I wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. So I don't know. I would love to hear. Oh, by the way, if anybody wants to beta test this, I'd be happy to add you. But please, because I have limited number of beta slots, I still have them left. Do it only if you think you're going to spend some time playing with it and give me feedback. Because I have so many beta testers that say, yes, I want a beta test. But then, like, you know, they don't even download the app. But if you want it, if you have time, you want to do it, please send me an email.
I'll send everybody your email.
Yeah.
Contact information, and then people can get in touch with you.
Just send me an email, then I'll be able to add you right away. It's really easy.
Well, thank you so much.